And would you stand for the reading of Scripture? If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1, hear these words. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. What a beautiful ceremony. The richness of the tradition of what just happened, of the laying on of hands and the gathering around of the body of Christ, is theologically dense. You share in a tradition that has been going on since the 2nd to 4th century. I asked ChatGPT, just give me an estimate of how many people have gone through confirmation in the history of mankind, and it gave me a rough estimate of about 2 to 4 billion people. That's a pretty wide range. But you have just embarked on a tradition, a ceremony, that so many people before you have leaned into, who have considered their faith so significant to them that they would stand up amongst their peers and say, "Count me in. I am part of the followers, the apostles, the disciples of Jesus." And it's because of their decision that we are here today. It is because of your decision, confirmands, that the future church meeting hundreds of years from now will be there today. Because of your decision. All it takes is a generation or two for the faith to be lost. It stands on your shoulders. This incredible mission, this incredible burden of carrying forth the message of Christ began with the disciples who said, "I'm in. I'm here to follow you, Jesus. With everything that I have, with my whole life, I am here to follow you." They said that. The work that you put in to get to this space, the work of wrestling with God, with wrestling with your faith. Y'all, I wish that you could have been in some of the conversations last night. And from Henry's description, the conversations throughout the entirety of confirmation. Y'all, this group is hungry for the word of God. They are hungry for more of the Spirit of God. The questions that they ask, the continual seeking of more, recognizing that there's so much more that is outside of their reach, outside of their understanding at this point, but they desire to know more. The amount of you that in our conversations last night said, I really just want to hear the voice of God. What I want more than anything else is just to hear the voice of God. Now, I think God looks at that and says, I can work with that. Hungry. Hungry for more of Jesus. Today, you raised your hand. This ceremony helped to seal what God had already been doing in your story. What had already begun in family discipleship. What had already begun around dinner tables. What had already begun through schooling and summer camps and the way that the Spirit had been drawing you to him. This was not the beginning of it. The church didn't do all of this work, but the Holy Spirit has been actively pursuing each one of your lives up to this point. And today you raise your hand and say, count on me for the future of the church. This is the same boat the disciples were in this moment in Acts chapter 1. God, we want to follow you. Now what do we do? What's the next step? And you know what Jesus said? Wait. He didn't give them some perfect plan for what they were to do next. He said, wait. Wait right here because I'm about to give you a gift. A gift that will be more important to you than any lecture that I could give you. More important than any sermon. More important than any community support that I could give around you to help build you up and lift you up and walk with this. I'm about to give you a gift that's more important than any of that. All of those things are good. But he said, wait, because the gift that I'm about to give you is the most important thing that you need in order to carry the church forward. In fact, if I don't give you this gift, the task that is before you is impossible. If I don't give you this gift, you will be unsuccessful in anything else that you try to do for building the kingdom in the church. The gift that I am giving you is the Holy Spirit. And as I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, it will give you power to be my witness. Now, what do we mean by power? Not like to be strong and explosive like a great football player or a baseball player that has a power hitting ability. Not that kind of power, not a strength that puts you stronger than the rest of the people around you. Not a power that means like influence, where you can influence people, where you're in a place of power and position, political or social influence. Not that kind of power. In Greek, the word is dynamis, which is where we get our understanding of dynamic. The power that he would give moves one from a static position, which means one who is still, into a dynamic position, one who is in action and moving. This dynamis, this power that the Holy Spirit gives us capacity where there once was none. Just as God breathed his ruach, his breath into creation and gave it life, so the Holy Spirit is for us. It animates. It gives us movement. It makes us able where we were not before. The disciples were not waiting around for instruction. They weren't waiting around for understanding. They weren't waiting around for a lecture. They would change their perspective. They were wholly incapable of the task ahead. And they were waiting for the one thing that could move them from the classroom into the world. They were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend on them. Not a power that they could contain and possess and control, but a presence of the one true living God. The same God that they've been walking with in Jesus would be in each one of them, dynamically moving for the walk ahead. The same God would be in them that created in the beginning. The same God that parted the seas, the same God that walked on water, the same power that healed the sick, the same power that raised the dead would be in the disciples and for us today is in us. The only limiting factor to the power of God in our lives is ourselves. The only limitation to what God can do in and through your lives is the sin and brokenness of ourselves. Think about it like this, and I'm going to close with this. Anybody here been sailing? When you go sailing, all you have to do, once you've pushed out into the water, is to raise your sail. And the more you raise your sail, the more it catches the wind that is already moving and is propelled and moved forward. Friends, all that we as followers of Christ are called to do, not to harness and contain the power of God, but just to put up our sails. The bigger we allow our sails to be, the more we allow God to use us, the more we say yes to God, the larger our sails become, and the more of God's power flows through us and moves into the world. Friends, may this be an image for how you move from confirmation into the world. The only limiter to how God might use you to build the kingdom of God is how much you avail yourself to Him, how much you open your sail to receive His power. Friends, not just for the confirmands, but would we be a church who open wide our sails and say, God, use me however you will. I say yes to you. May your power flow in and through me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us pray.